Parental advisory. I cuss a lot, I keep it real, and the show is not for children.
Justice over convictions is not only our mantra, but our mission, which is why we created the first conviction integrity unit in the entire state of Maryland, a unit dedicated to reinvestigating claims of...
Welcome to the world's very first This Ain't No Game show. Here we demand justice for all. Here you are the jury. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Guilty or Not Guilty. In this episode, we're being forced to re-examine the homicide of Haymin Lee. Adnan Syed, who was convicted of her homicide back in 2000, has recently been released. I'm your host, Ian All Day True, and I ask you, world, Adnan Syed, guilty or not guilty? Section 18, U.S. Code 1117, conspiracy to murder. If two or more people conspire to commit murder and any one of such persons does any overt act to affect the object of this conspiracy, each person shall be subject to imprisonment for any number of years or for life. Nowhere in there does it say 2 years probation. You gotta go back. You gotta go back. You gotta go back. All right. Before I break it down, I want to give a big shout out to the modern day Matlock Pod Mama herself and her whole crew. Sarah Koenig and a lot of others from This American Life put together Serial. They not only did a great job on all three seasons, but they did an amazing job on Serial Season 1, and it took the world by storm and opened up this case for us. Here is Sarah herself accepting a Peabody for her work on this project.
It's a 10-hour audio documentary about an old murder that I did not solve. So, you want to introduce all of us? I'm Sarah, Julie Snyder, Dana Chivas, Emily Condon, and Ira Glass.
Y'all deserve that. For sure. And hopefully many more to come. Without y'all, we wouldn't have these long conversations that let us know without a doubt that Adnan needs another trial. Let it be clear that I'm saying this after he's been out and his case has been dismissed. I'm saying he needs to go back to court, him and Jay, for this conspiracy to murder that we have so much evidence on. Now, I do feel real fucking weird right now because I'm not a cop, I'm not a prosecutor, I know I'm way outside my lane, but something is telling me that I have to do this right here. Adnan shows no remorse. And for him to be able to con the whole world like this, we have to show our daughters, we have to show our sisters, shit, we have to show our moms that this is what psychopaths look like. Not all of them are gonna have body parts in their freezer. They're gonna be nice, they're gonna be attractive. You see how Sarah never went off on a tangent like this throughout the whole Serial? Oh my gosh. That's why she deserves the award. But still, nonetheless, watch who you let in your life. Watch out for red flags. Most definitely. Listen to Serial Season 1 at serialpodcast.org. I'll be right back. I gotta take a quick second to say thank you so much for supporting this small business. Every little bit helps. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. Okay, make sure to visit the website as well. We do have extra content. Oh yeah, you gotta vote anyway. Guilty or not guilty, visit alldaytrue.com. While you're there, make sure to check out the extra content. Grab a t-shirt, subscribe. Did I mention I print each and every t-shirt my blind ass sell? They turn out great though because I pass them to a rigorous quality control person with a humongous booty. Oh yeah, oh yeah. You are most definitely helping keep Mama Pop doing it here. We're not trying to shut down the box stores, nor do we have the big box store prices. But if I don't get some of this money back quick, I might have some problems. So keep Mama Pop doing it. He knew how she was killed. He knew what she was wearing. He knew how deep her grave was. He knew exactly how Adnan was going to set the scene for the murder. That's because he was there, y'all. I don't even bring up the part about him knowing where her car was, because that type of information can come by it. You can come by that, you know, just driving by it. That didn't mean anything to me. But him knowing all that shit, that's because he was there.
That's why the police believe him, is because his information was corroborated.
He said she was choked, and she was choked. He said her grave was 6 inches deep. I helped dig it. It was 6 inches deep. He knew what she was wearing. And he knew how Adnan was going to get her in the car. He was a part of that. So that's what my point is here. Is like, I do agree that there were some faults in the justice system in this case. Yeah, I think all this circumstantial evidence, yeah, definitely put that shit in front of a jury.
I don't think there's anything wrong with convicting that man based on that evidence, because most people can look at this situation and say, you know what?
This motherfucker's guilty. Fuck the technicalities, fuck all this other shit. He's guilty.
That's why McGillicuddy, who you'll hear here in a second, doesn't feel bad.
Because he knows, beyond question, that Adnan's guilty. He sees that Adnan's lying, and he sees that Jay is telling the truth. He's been doing this.
But he should have never allowed Jay's story to change.
They taped an interview of Jay, 19 years of age. We're at the offices of homicide, specifically the colonel's conference room. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what you know about the death of Haley?
This has been edited just a little bit for time and relevance.
My father went shopping with a friend of mine, Adnan. We had had a conversation. During the conversation, he stated that he was going to kill Haley.
What did you do then?
I took him to school. I dropped him off in the back of the school. He left his cell phone in the car with me, told me he'd call me. I went back to my friend Jen's house and waited for him to call.
Okay, now at this point, you know why he's leaving the car with you?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because he said he was going to kill Hay.
And the reason you have the car and the cell phone was why?
To pick him up from wherever he was going to do this.
Okay. And you had talked about this while you were shopping that day?
The details of the car and all?
The events, how they were going to plan out.
That day he told me, yes, he told me, I'm going to leave you with my cell phone and my car, I need you to come get me. Yes.
After
he had killed Hay, yes.
Okay. That's all I need, y'all. That's all I need. You gotta go back.
So a lot of people don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. I should probably break it down a little bit. Okay, so the basic facts are, Adnan and Hay were dating for about 10 months. They're on and again, off again, typical high school relationship. But around December of 1998, they broke up for good, seemingly. In January of 1999, Hay had expressed to Adnan that she really wanted him to move on and he would not leave her alone. And she was pretty serious about it too. She quit writing about him in her diary. She wrote him a nice letter, said, please respect my wishes. She moved on. He was mad to the point that on the back of the letter he wrote, I'm going to kill.
Something.
So, I do believe in coincidences. I do. That evidence does not fit that definition, though.
I am going to kill.
And nobody disputed the handwriting on that. That's a key factor, you know what I mean? He was going to do it, and it was weighing on him. Guaranteed. He was freaking out. AEB, they broke up on December 20th, and by January 13th, he still wouldn't leave her alone.
Oh, okay, let's stop. Don't let me get ahead of myself.
January 12th, at about 11:30 p.m., Adnan starts calling Hay. January 13th, the day she dies, Adnan calls again at 12:01 a.m. She didn't answer again. He calls back again at 12:37. She does answer. We don't know exactly what was said. Adnan says he was just giving her his new cell phone number. Some people have said that Adnan was asking if they were ever going to get back together. And she said no. Okay. So the next day at school, Adnan asks Hay for a ride. He says his car's in the shop or is broken down. Asks Hay for a ride. He chose that reason because he was a budding master manipulator and Hay had just asked him for a ride 2 weeks prior when her car broke down. We might come back to that part of the story here in a little bit, but for now, let's keep it moving. Hay agreed to give Adnan a ride. Next thing you know, she's missing. But there are a couple steps that took place first, and Jay described them earlier. Adnan left school, went picked up Jay, made the plan to call Jay after he was done killing Hay. He then did that. Or he called Jay ahead of time. I don't know. It doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. As soon as at 10:30 that morning or whatever, whenever they made that plan and then Jay accepted the car and phone from Adnan and Adnan gave the phone and car to Jay, that is making a step in completion of the conspiracy. That's it. Lock them up. And they sure did, too. They locked them right the fuck up. Adnan. Jay, since, you know, he gave up his side of the story, he never saw a jail cell over this shit. Well, don't quote me on that. I don't know if he ever saw a jail cell, but he ended up, his sentence was 2 years probation. And he was all kinds. You heard what he said. He made this murder possible. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm here, because I think we still need some justice for Hay. Don't you? All right, now we're going to get back to the point of Jay being allowed to change that story that you heard him tell earlier. Earlier, we heard him say that he knew exactly why he was taking the car and the cell phone from Adnan. He knew exactly what he and Adnan were planning to do. And he knew exactly what his role was going to be in this conspiracy. Yet when he testified, he didn't know anything about it until after Hay had already been murdered. The fact that the prosecutor let that story change and still go on the stand, that right there is the judicial misconduct in this court case. It didn't change the facts of the story. What it did is it made Jay way less culpable. In the first story, he was 100% guilty of this murder. I can understand giving some kind of break for somebody who testifies, you know, but 2 years probation on a murder case? That's a little too much incentive, if you ask me. This guy could have saved Hay's life. So, luckily, they didn't charge him with the murder, because now they can. And I hope they do, and that's why I'm doing this. I hope they charge him and Adnan. They have a fucking case, and Heyman Lee deserves that fucking justice.
Big bear, big bear, you gotta go, you gotta go. Big bear, you gotta go, you gotta go.
Adnan sounds eerily similar to this guy I know, this murderer I know who's now serving 100 plus years. They all swear up and down, I'm not a cold-blooded killer. What you think I am, some cold-blooded killer? It's because they relish in that fucking title. Why else would they use the word killer as a term of endearment? Tell me that. This motherfucker was bragging, y'all. He said, oh, those motherfuckers in the hood think they're hard, but I just killed somebody with my bare hands. He said, I think she tried to say sorry, but I just kept going. He also tried to use a manipulation tactic called maximizing on Sarah, where he said, I would have had to be Hitler to plan all this out. I'm sure to Hayes' mom and brother, you aren't much different than Hitler.
He was proud of it? Yes.
Another really compelling piece of evidence to me was the story told by a homicide detective's daughter. I believe she has some built-in intuition, and she could tell that something was way off with Jay and Adnan that day. They stopped by her house about 6 o'clock the day of Hayes' murder. This in itself was out of the ordinary. This was Jen's friend. Jay had never stopped by here by himself, and he brought Adnan, who was acting real fucking weird. It was during this time that Adnan started getting calls about Hay. He was freaking the fuck out, as I'm sure you would be too if you had just killed somebody and now you have to talk to the police about it. So that's where he's at. But you better believe his story definitely changed from that very first day. And, you know, if you're lying on the first day, you did it. I do have to thank God that I don't know firsthand. But I must ask you me that the first thing for Adnan to do if he was innocent, the normal thing that somebody would have done, regardless, breakup or not, is start trying to contact that person who's missing. You know? That's the normal thing for somebody to do, especially if you're just blowing their phone up the night before. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to pitch things in a shitty light like the defense does quite often. I'm going to pitch both sides of this story, yes. They were probably calling from Hay's house, and I don't believe Hay had a cell phone. So Adnan trying to call Hay at that point would have been, you know, irrelevant. The thing is, though, she did have a pager. And as much as Adnan was blowing her phone up the night before, he never dialed either one of those numbers again. What is a gut feeling? Can we count on them? Like, this lady, Serial Kathy, she had a gut feeling that Adnan, Jay, and then later on even Jen were being real shady. You know, her gut told her that something was up and something real serious was up, which by itself is just a feeling. But when it later comes out that feeling she was having was about a person who was driving around and wiping fingerprints off of shovels that were used to bury a body, that gut feeling has been corroborated. Has it not? So many people want us to use common sense, but then want to throw it out of the courtroom. I don't think that's how it works. Imagine it was your family member. Imagine this was your son, your daughter. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't you want the obvious guilty person put back behind bars? See, me, I can definitely get on board with the people who believe that nobody should ever be wrongfully incarcerated. I'm with that camp. Those are my people, okay? We don't fight for the guilty. Adnan is guilty. That's why the jury found him guilty. That's why I'm here fighting against him. That's why you're listening, because you still had your doubts. He's fucking guilty. Beyond question. Who do you trust? Is it the guy who's changing his story the very same day his ex-girlfriend comes up missing? Or do you trust the homicide detective's daughter who just says, you know what? Something's up with these guys. There is something going on with them today. I trust her, and I say that type of information really matters. What are these people acting like? Adnan got a call that says the police are going to be calling him. He starts asking, oh shit, what do I do? What the fuck am I supposed to say? That's a big deal. We need to pay attention to that. That's how he was acting that day. And let's not skip past pointing out that when they did get that call, they got up and just left out. Didn't say bye, didn't say anything. You know, not a big deal, but just showing you they're not cool people, you know? But let me get back on track. We're not trying to figure out if they're cool people or not. We're trying to figure out if they're good people or not. I can hear y'all already. These guys aren't either. I know. But I do think we should point out that good people would not be worried about what they were going to say to the cop. They'd be worried about their missing friend. Yeah, nope. From the sounds of things, there wasn't any of that going on. I'm sure it's becoming more and more evident, but oftentimes when there's a crime, a lot of the evidence happens after the fact. In this case, it surfaced as lies. Lots of them. You know how lies snowball and shit. Well, this one ended at Sarah Koenig's feet, where she said, okay, Adnan, so your phone was with Jay all afternoon. You were at school. How'd you call Nisha at 3:32? I say, that really happened at 3:33 in the afternoon, and that call was 2 minutes and 22 seconds long. And conspiracy theorist, delusional asshole like myself says those numbers in the universe are telling us something right there. His first alibi was that he was working on a motherfucking Honda. Hey, Adnan, what part on that Honda were you fixing in the school parking lot? See, that's how it happens when you tell lies. So, let's discuss another lie. This one happened beforehand. He told Hay he needed a ride because his car broke down. But that was before he gave Jay a ride. How's he supposed to give Jay a ride if his car's broken down? How's his car in two places at once? Another lie that took place after the fact was this Asia nonsense. If you haven't heard, 2 days after Adnan was arrested, or maybe the next day, he got a letter that said, hey, remember, I was with you that day in the library when they're saying that you killed Hay, so you couldn't have done it. Remember? It was me in the library. Asia. It was bullshit, all right? Don't quote me. Look it up yourself. I haven't seen it firsthand, but the breakdown is that letter could not have been written on the date that she said she wrote it because Adnan didn't have a prisoner number at that time and she had put a prisoner number on it. Regardless, though, it was just obvious to everybody involved that they were trying to put together this alibi, bullshit-ass alibi. And I would bet, I don't know, I haven't looked into the first trial, but the first trial was considered a mistrial because the defense lied. About what exactly? I don't know. But switching the story definitely shows you they're not above it. If you take nothing else from cancel culture, let it be this. With the internet, you ain't special, baby. Even when you're not under arrest, anything you say can and will be used against you. And that's no different here. Adnan has been talking ever since this happened. In the trial, when he called Jay pathetic, to me, that's more evidence. You know what I mean? More evidence after the fact. Because
What would you say to somebody who's accusing you of murder and you're like sitting in a chair looking at the rest of your life behind bars? Would you call them pathetic? Or would you fucking jump up and punch them in the mouth? Or scream, you fucking liar. I don't know how the fuck I'd handle myself. I couldn't. I'll tell you what, though. I know this for sure. The reason Adnan called Jake pathetic is because he broke the fucking street code, bro. He was supposed to shut the fuck up, and he didn't. That's why he called him pathetic. Because he turned state's evidence. Adnan was a stand-up guy, according to the people in the jail. Stand-up guy. That means he kept his mouth shut. Jay didn't. To Adnan, that's pathetic. And I'm pretty sure I know one thing about old stand-up fit right in at the prison, Adnan. He didn't think we'd be looking back at this 20 years later, judging the fuck out of his every move, but we are, baby, and you guilty. What else we got?
You gotta go back. Can't share the streets with the lad, acting like a psychopath. If you think you beat that shit, don't bet. Can't decipher difference right and wrong.
No remorse? Okay.
Going back, cause that is right where you belong.
Let's go!
Alright, just a couple more notes. I learned this trick from Dave Chappelle. I'm about to wrap it up, and then you just keep going. So, I'm about to wrap it up. Two more things, though. One is actually regarding Dave Chappelle's hometown. Adnan, at the time of the murder, was hollering at this girl from that town. And my theory is that she paged him during the time he was with Hay. And he felt like he needed an alibi with her. But we don't need to know the reason for the call for it to prove that Jay and Adnan were together that day. One of the main reasons Adnan's case got thrown out, aside from that Asia BS, was the fact that the so-called expert witness that they called to testify on the cell towers, he didn't see a note that was on the cover page that said, incoming calls cannot be reliably sourced for location data. Now it turns out that the reason for that is because usually the incoming call originates at the last tower, or can possibly, I shouldn't say usually, can possibly originate at the last tower the person was at. So it doesn't give accurate current location data. But I think in a case like this, we can all agree that the exact time he was at Lincoln Park doesn't really matter. If he was there that day, that's good enough evidence for me. And the cell towers definitely prove that. All right, y'all. I rest my case. You be the jury. What do you think? Edna? Jay? Conspiracy to commit murder? I think so. Please, just look at it with the same logic you would look at any other true crime. Everybody says they're innocent, okay? Especially this motherfucker. And he went into prison a manipulator and got his masters while he was there. So know this. If you feel like Adnan Syed is not guilty, you've been conned and you're wrong. But cast that verdict anyway at alldaytrue.com.